This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's a surprise. All right, Salam alaikum, everybody. How do you make this go? Is there a way to make this go? All right, assalamu alaikum, everybody. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Rabbi Shrahli Sadri, Wasari Amri, Wahlul Ukrata Milisani, Yafko Koli, Rabbi Zitni Inma, Rabbi Zitni Inma, Rabbi Zitni Inma. Welcome back to Exploring the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we have been covering Surah Yusuf, and we've been going through the story of Yusuf alayhi salam as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented it in the Quran. And one of the things that we want to focus on mainly is this idea or the reality of finding faith through trial and tribulation. And so what we've covered so far has been the background of the story of Yusuf, has been the background to what is leading up to this moment, and I guess you could say like kind of like a reunion type of thing, but also all of the trials and tribulations that people along the way have gone through. I think something that is beautiful to realize that sometimes we're living in our own story, not realizing that there are other characters there, that they have their own struggles as well. And so Yusuf alayhi salam's father, Yaqub alayhi salam, as much as we heard a lot about him in the beginning of the story, but in the middle, we kind of don't really hear much about what's happening with him. It does not necessitate or it does not mean that he's not going through his own difficulties and struggles with the loss of his son, obviously not in a way that he's lost him to death, but more so in a way that he lost him, he doesn't know where he's at. So at the end of this particular surah, which we're kind of nearing the end, so it's a little sad, but you know, it's fun. What we're seeing here is this this growth that Yusuf alayhi salam has received during this difficult time. And he's received growth in multiple ways. It is growth in the blessings and miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, but it's also growth in how he carries himself in perspective. And the reason why I say that is because he's so crafty and he's so smart about how he interacts with his brothers after they come back to the city and they're coming back to get this money, to get some food for their village and all these things. But sometimes you don't really know what to say or how to say something, and experience teaches you a lot. And so it is true that Yusuf alayhi salam spent a good amount of time in prison. And in that time, he's probably learned a lot of lessons, which is what we see. And from there, in this reunion that he has with his brothers, you see this very important moment. Now, his brothers come back, and they ask for their provisions and all of these things. And what ends up happening is Yusuf alayhi salam tells them, you have a brother, go get your brother. Bring your brother back to me, and I'll give you more. I'll give you what your cut is. Now, when they go to their father, and they tell Yaqub alayhi salam that you have to send Binyamin with us, and when you send Binyamin with us, we'll get what we're cut out for, or we'll get our provisions. Yaqub alayhi salam is visibly, as we can see from the language of the Quran, kind of not really feeling that request. Why? Because he has sent a son with them before, and that son didn't make it back. So now we're here where he says to them, I will send him, but first you have to take an oath. And that oath that they had to take was that they were going to try their best to make sure that Binyamin came back. And the only way that they will leave Binyamin behind is if they're surrounded. That is the only way. And then he says, and I'm not putting my trust in you all to protect him. I'm putting my trust in Allah to protect him. And so we continue that conversation where he says, Qala, لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِي مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ إِلَّا أَنْ يُحَاطَ بِكُمْ. So I will never send him with you unless you take an oath from Allah that you will bring him back. And if it's the case that you can't bring him back, it should be the only reason that is because you're surrounded. فَلَمَّا أَتَوْهُ مَوْثِقَهُمْ قَالَ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا نَقُولُ وَكِيلٌ. Once they gave their oath, he then said that you guys have given this oath in front of Allah. قَالَ يَا بَنِيَّ. He then said to them, O my sons, لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِنْ بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ. Don't enter. When you go back and you enter into the city, don't enter from one door. Okay? وَدْخُلُوا مِنْ أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقَةٍ. But enter into different doors. So don't enter into the main entrance into the city altogether. Rather, when you guys enter, make sure that you guys enter into different from different doors into the city. Now, there's a lot of conversation from the Mufassirun about what does this mean. And the first part where a lot of the scholars spend time is that they say, you know what? Sometimes the advice of a parent, you don't understand it, but you should take it. You know, like sometimes your parents will say, do something, you know, like it really comes in remedies, honestly, when you're like sick. You know, and they're like boiling garlic and they're like, drink this garlic. And you're like, why would I do that? It's so gross, you know? And they're like, you know what? I don't know. My grandmother did it to me. Like, you just take it. And you're like, but what benefits does it have? And they're like, just do it, right? So sometimes their parents give advice in a way that we don't really see the benefit of it, right? They're like, we're all going to end up in the same place. Why do we have to enter into multiple doors to the city? But Yaqub alayhi salam is a prophet. And so perhaps there's something there. And I think it's beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not disclose the reasoning here. He still doesn't disclose the reasoning. He just says that this is what he commanded them to, he told them to do. So Yaqub alayhi salam is a prophet. And it's obvious that there are things that he knows that other people do not know. And it's very possible that there is something that he wanted to protect his sons from, that perhaps maybe they didn't know about, and so he tells them to enter into the city from different doors. The second thing that the scholars say is that it is a lesson in protection of oneself from hasad. Why? Because now it will be 10 of them entering into the city, all from the same family. Okay, it will be 10 of these young men entering into the city from the same family. It will be all of them, actually it will be 11 of them, entering from the same family into the city. And what does that look like? Remember, children resemble what? Wealth, right? Children resemble wealth. And also, when you're coming in like that, it looks like a caravan. It looks like, you know, like a bit intense. So Yaqub alayhi salam is telling them, I don't want my son taken away. Don't draw attention to yourself. Someone may look at this and think of it in one way when it's really not. Yusuf alayhi salam already got sold into slavery. That had already happened. Yusuf alayhi salam was already found in a well and taken into slavery. And so how could they know that, okay, what if we come in and this happens and Benjamin is the youngest and something happens and he's left behind and maybe he's like trawling along and someone doesn't take him? How do they know someone won't take him? They don't know that. So Yaqub alayhi salam is telling them, it's better for you guys to enter, to break up into pieces, and to enter from different doors. Then he says, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. I think this is very powerful. He says that when it comes to the decree of Allah, when it comes to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for you, whatever it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for you, I cannot help you. I cannot avail you. I cannot make it easier on you. I cannot take it away from you. And what's interesting is that when the Prophet ﷺ is on Mount Safa and he's calling different tribes, right? He's calling people from his own family, and he's calling Abdul Manaf, he's calling all of these different tribes. He then goes down and he's telling them that come and believe. And you need to believe because I cannot avail from you or against you or for you on your behalf from Allah anything. Meaning that you need to believe and your belief is your own journey. And then he goes down and he calls specific people. Okay, he calls Abbas, then he calls his aunt Safiya, and then he calls his daughter. And I find that to be so interesting, because he then says to her, Fatima, you can ask of me any wealth, anything, new car, new house, whatever. And we see it. Later on in the seerah, we see it. Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha is going through a difficult time. Time-wise, like literally in the understanding of time. She's like, I have kids, I got a family, I have all these things, it's a lot of work. And she calls her dad, because she was a daddy's girl. And she's like, I need somebody to help me in the house. And he answered. Not only did he answer, he came and met her at her home to answer that, right? So he tells her, when she's a little girl, you can ask me from anything when it comes to wealth. You can ask me from anything when it comes to things in this world. But when it comes to Allah, I cannot help you. You're on your own. Why? What is that telling a person? It's telling a person that each person has the responsibility of their own action. What you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable for it. And what is to come for you or to you, there is nothing that anyone else can do to stop it. That is your path in life to walk. I think this is powerful that he's saying this to his sons, because his sons spent their entire lifetime doing what? Trying to be Yusuf. Spent their entire lifetime trying to fill this void that they had against their father, so much so they don't actually realize the love that their father has for them. It is only out of love that their father would tell them to enter into different doors. It is only out of love that their father would keep them in the house after they did what they did to their son, to his son. It is only out of love that their father would still talk to them and give and take advice from them and still give them responsibility. They went to go to the king to get these provisions for their town out of the command and the direction of their father, because he still gave them responsibility. Someone betrays us one time and we're like, never, don't even ask me for toothpaste. Like, you literally, like, if you were on fire, I had a cup of water, I'd drink it. Like, you, I cannot trust you anymore. That's how we are. As people, we're very unforgiving. But also as people, we interpret love to be one way. You know, we interpret love to just be in a way of someone always in agreement with you. We interpret love to only be in the way that makes us feel good. But I challenge that. What does that mean to have a yes man around you? What does it mean to have someone who's always telling you, you're doing great, you're doing great, you're doing great? Sometimes, and it doesn't have to be harsh, we need someone to tell us that wasn't so great. It's not that you're not great, but the action that you did was not so great. So when the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam come back to him after what happened with Yusuf, he doesn't say that you guys are terrible people. He didn't say that to them. He said, what? Bal sawwalat, your nafs, your the part of you that calls you to do wrong, convince you to do wrong. He didn't say you're a terrible person for what you did. He says that you were caused to do wrong because you need to get yourself under control. So you have here that while they're going, he's literally telling them, get yourself under control. Why? Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for you is not something I can protect you from. Either you do the right thing and good comes to you, you do the wrong thing, or you'll answer for it. And then he says, "In al-hukmu illa lillah," that truly the best judgment, all power, all judgment is in the hands of Allah. Alayhi tawakkaltu, and it's upon Allah that I will put my trust. Wa alayhi falyatawakkalil mutawakkilun, and anyone who wants to trust someone. Right? You ever have a feeling like, man, I just really want somebody that can like have my back. Like, I want to be able to put my trust into someone. Then what Yaqub alayhi salam says, فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ, that those who want to entrust somebody or want to put their trust in the hands of someone, they put their trust in the hands of Allah. That is the best place to put it. Why? Because people will disappoint you. You will disappoint you. You will disappoint you. How many things have you told yourself, I will never do again? I will never do this again. And the moment you say, I will never do it again, what happens? It's easier to do it. It is easier to fall into that trap. But the biggest trap that was actually there was thinking that you would get through it by your own ability and not realizing that the only way you're going to be able to stick to your boundaries, The only way that you're going to be able to be committed to that journey of being a better person and doing good is by trusting in Allah and using the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you to do it. And so this is why Yaqub alayhi salam is showing his sons that I'm not saying that you guys are going to take Binyamin and I have full faith in you to take care of him. I have full faith in Allah to take care of him. And I know, I am fully aware that whatever happens, whatever difficulty befalls, whatever the outcome that happens or the situation that happens, it will be because that is the judgment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. But remember, okay, knowledge is good, awareness is good, but emotion is emotion. And sometimes being aware of the situation even makes it a little bit more difficult. And so you have next that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a visual into the sun's entering. And he says, وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ, that when they entered into the land in the way in which their father commanded them, مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ, that he was not able, okay? He was not able to help them in any way. حَاجَةً فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَدَاهَا. He was not able to help them or avail them or take away any difficulty from them against Allah, except for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for them to occur, for it to happen to them, even though he would have wanted to. Like, his soul was happy though. His soul was satisfied with knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of them, but he would have wanted to help their child, his children. وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ. And he was someone who possessed the knowledge in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. Now that's very interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say he was someone who was an expert, like an alim. An alim is like a scholar, right? But for somebody to have dhu'ilm, they possess this knowledge. What does that mean? It means for you to be a person that walks in the path of the knowledge that you have. So for instance, if somebody knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be Ar-Rahman, okay, they know God to be all-merciful, then in their conversations with Allah, they will carry themselves in that way. I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be all-merciful. So when I make dua to Allah, one of the things that I'm going to be sure to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most compassionate. And even if, like, I'm down bad, and life is difficult, and it's hard, and I'm annoyed, and I'm this, and I'm that, and maybe I don't feel too great, I will still know that there's mercy in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for my life to go. Because I know God to be merciful. If you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be al-Razak, the one who gives provisions, he gives risk. Remember, risk is not just wealth, it's not mal. It has so much more to it, it's nourishment, right? The Prophet says about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, ruziktu bihubbiha, I was nourished by her love. What does that mean? Everybody likes to quote it as like a cute love story. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great, fine, all right? I'm not that type of person. It's really like a lot for me, okay? I have a laughing problem, makes me laugh, okay? It's all those things, all the above. But what does it actually mean? Why did he use those words? Because when the Prophet was at a time where life was extremely difficult and every single person that he loved so much turned their back against him, who was still there? Khadija was still there. Can you imagine being someone who like got invited to every party, someone who got invited to every gathering, every hangout, even the close friends hangout, you got invited to the after party? Can you imagine being that person? Like, you're that guy or girl, okay? And then all of a sudden, no one calls you anymore. In fact, people are repulsed by seeing you. That is a very hard switch. It is also very emotionally taxing. And we may not think, or we like to say, I don't care what people think of me. I don't care about this. I don't care about that. There's a reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we're an ummah, right? We're a community. Why? Because we need community. As human beings, we need community. And if we don't attach ourselves to a community, we're going to attach ourselves to something. And so when every single person turns their back on the Prophet ﷺ, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha was not only there. She was not only there. She was present. She wasn't just like a person who was like, oh, it's going to be okay. No, she was present. She was active. She was engaged in the mission. She has such a loyalty and a dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nothing can turn her away. Nothing, not a single thing can turn her away. So when the Prophet says that he was nourished by her love, it's not that she gave him money. No. It's that she reminded him of who he was in a time where it would have been so easy for him to lose himself. So we know of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be a Razak, the one who provides, gives provisions, gives nourishment, takes care of you, that in a time when life is very difficult, or even times when life is good, and you call upon Allah, what are you going to call upon Allah as? Ya Razak. Oh, the one who gives. You have given me so much. But I'm in desperate need of X, Y, and Z. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Yaqub alayhi salam as ladhu ilmin, he was someone who possessed knowledge. It wasn't any type of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, lima allamnahu. He possesses the knowledge from the knowledge that we gave him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Yaqub alayhi salam who he is, Yaqub alayhi salam called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as such. But also, it means that Yaqub alayhi salam would have never acted in the way that was against how God wanted him to act. So when we see in the next couple of ayat how his emotion shows, it shows us that it's okay to be human and Muslim, because that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from you. That you're seeing the atrocities and the difficulties of this world and what's happening around the world, and it makes you feel maybe enraged. Maybe some days it makes you feel very sad. Maybe some days you're not feeling. That each of those emotions are okay. But the question is, what do you do after that emotion or during that emotion? That is the question. Because if the answer is not that I call upon Allah, then there's a problem there. Because throughout every single emotional journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us about Yaqub alayhi salam, each of them ends with him calling upon Allah. Each of them, in different ways. At this point, he's called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Hafiz, the one who preserves and protects. He's called Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Musta'in, the one that you call upon and seek assistance from. He's called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Wakil, the one that you put your trust in, like a person that will be there to testify, a person that will be there to take on your responsibility. He's called upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many different ways in each of those situations. Why? Because he's putting his emotion to work. He's allowing it to be beneficial. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But rather, most people do not know. They do not realize that Yaqub alayhi salam carried himself in this way. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفَ. And when the brothers went and they entered to Yusuf, awa ilayhi akhahu. Yusuf alayhi salam went and he was so loving towards his brother Binyamin. Qala inni ana ahuka. He then whispered to him and he said, I'm your brother. Fala tabta'is bima kanu ya'malun. He says, so do not be sad. Don't be sad, but by what they used to do. He doesn't say don't be sad for what they did or what they're doing right now. He says don't be sad for what they used to do. So it's almost like Yusuf alayhi salam is acknowledging that the brothers may be better. But the best thing about this is he's not making any assumptions. The assumption is don't be sad for what they're doing to you. That's called projecting. Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salam doesn't know what his brother's life has been like for the past 10 plus years. He doesn't know if they were nice to Benjamin. He doesn't know if they were mean to Benjamin. But he knows what happened to him. So he can say that. But also, this is a lesson in relationships. Okay? Because sometimes things happen. Terrible things. Maybe someone does something that you believe to be is unforgivable. And that's okay because those things happen. Right? But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, why are we so quick to burn bridges? Why are we so quick to burn bridges? And not our own bridges. Because somebody does something to you, it's unforgivable halas. That is unforgivable halas. That's between you and that person. But then to go to every other relationship around that person and tell them this person is someone you shouldn't be friends with, as long as whatever that person is doing is not detrimental to someone else and it's not something that harms someone else, okay, remember the word harm someone else, then you have no right to meddle into someone else's relationship. Because someone can have a strong relationship and maybe you just not have a strong relationship, and that's okay. It's fine. Why? Because different people have different relationships with different people. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, فَلَا تَبَتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Don't be saddened by what they used to do and what they used to do to me. In some of the translations, the Mufassir, the ones who explain tafsir, they put in parentheses to me, as in like qualifying it. Like, I know you're really heartbroken about what happened to me, but it's okay. I'm fine. Then you have فَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ, that when he gave them what he was supposed to give them, جَعَلَ سِقَايَ فِي رَحْلِ أَخِيهِ, then he put the measuring bowl, but it's more so like the king's cup, okay? And they say the king's cup was like the size of a bowl, which is why they didn't call it a cup. So he puts the king's cup inside of the bag of Benjamin. ثُمَّ أَدَّنَ مُعَدِّنٌ, then he called the one who used to make announcements, أَيَّتُهَا الْعَيْرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِكُونَ. He says that, oh man, these people here, they're thieves, okay? So he's talking about his brothers. He says, these people in this caravan, they're thieves. قَالُوا, they respond, and they say, وَأَقْبَلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ مَاذَا تَفْقِدُونَ. They respond while they were approaching him, and they said, while they were approaching them, like the caller was approaching them and Yusuf was approaching them, everybody's approaching them now because everybody thinks they're thieves. And they said, well, what are you missing? They didn't say what's stolen, okay? Because they're like, there's no way you can close a case of somebody stealing that quick. So they said, what are you missing? قَالُوا نَفْكِدُ سُوَى الْمَلِكِ. They said that we're missing the cup of the king. وَلِمَنْ جَاءَ بِهِ هِمْلُ بَعِيرٍ وَأَنَا بِهِ زَعِيمٌ. And they said that whoever produces it, okay, whoever produces it or brings it forward, then the reward will be they get a camel's load worth of food, and I'm responsible for being able to give that to you. So basically, there's a reward for it. The reward is that you get extra food, right? قَالُوا, they then said, تَاللَّهِ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا جِئْنَا لِنُفْسِدَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا كُنَّا سَارِقِينَ. They said, we swear by Allah that you know that we never come here to do anything wrong. This is the second time we've come here. The first time there is no drama. We are not those people. And we did not steal anything. قَالُوا فَمَا جَزَاؤُهُ إِن كُنْتُمْ كَاذِبِينَ. So then the people say back to them, well, if it's the case that you're so sure that you didn't take it, what will be the punishment in the case that you're lying? Okay? In the case that you're lying, we're going to search your stuff. And what will be the punishment? So they give the punishment. And they give the punishment like the boys. Okay, it's very important. The boys give this punishment. They give what will be the outcome of this individual if you find out that someone stole it from anywhere. They are the ones who set the rules, right? قَالُوا جَزَاؤُهُ مَنْ وُجِدَ فِي رَحْلِهِ. It is that you will take the one who you found the cup in. So if you found the cup in Fatima's bag, Fatima becomes your property, essentially. That sounds really bad. Okay, yeah, but it's okay. It's the same difference, actually. It really means that, actually. So you take the one who stole it. فَهُوَ جَزَاؤُهُ. كَذَلِكَ نَجَزِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Because this is how we usually punish those who do wrong. Remember, they're from the outskirts of the city. Within the city limits, there's a different rule. The rule is you could just go to prison because they have a prison system. But on the outskirts of the city, they don't have a prison system, which is why Yusuf alayhi salam wanted them to say what the punishment would be because there's a certain outcome that he's looking for. So, فَبَدَأَ بِأَوْئِيَتِهِمْ قَبْلَ وِعَاءِ أَخِيهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ وِعَاءِ الْأَخِيهِ. First, they went and Yusuf alayhi salam searched all of the other brothers' bags first. Because it'd be suspicious if he just walked up straight to Binyamin and then went to his bag and they got it from the first person. It'd be a little, you know, they would feel like he set them up, which he did, but they will feel that way. So first he looks in all the other brothers' bags until he gets to the bag of Binyamin, and they find it there. And then the brothers say, they see this. Imagine, as siblings, you see your brother did something bad. Usually your response is like, so not smart. You know, like something like that. They say, Kadalika kidna li Yusuf. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is what we planned for Yusuf. Ma kana li ya'khudha akhahu fi din al-malik illa in yasha Allah. Before we get there, he says that he wouldn't be able to, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a story, he wouldn't be able to take his brother except for in this way. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do it. Narfa'u darajatin man nasha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rise, we shall rise to lengths and degrees of like honor whomever we will. Wa fawqa kulli dhi 'ilmin 'aleem. And above every person who has knowledge is someone more knowledgeable. Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who devised this plan. And because God devised this plan, you can't go against it. Okay? So they find this, and then they say, قَالُوا إِنْ يَسْرِكْ فَقَدَ سَرَكَ أَخٌ لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ. They said, if it's the case that Binyamin took this, then he got it from his mom's side of the family. They said that his brother used to steal before. Oh, so now you remember you have a brother. Also remember something, growth is interesting. Because people grow and they forget where they came from. Growth is very interesting, especially in character. You know, maybe perhaps there are certain things about your character that you used to do, you don't do it anymore, you feel like you're safe, you're in the clear. You're never in the clear. And this is not meant to be like pessimistic, it's actually meant to be optimistic. Optimistic in the fact that it's about maintenance. Right? So the things that you are doing better at, you need to make sure that you're keeping up a regimen of doing better at it. Why? Because when the push comes to shove and the tough gets toughened, your character is going to show. So what do they say? They say, oh, he's like his brother from his mom's side. He's not like us. So if he truly stole this, then they didn't even try to defend him. They didn't say, no, this must be a mistake. He's the youngest one. Perhaps maybe he accidentally took it. None of that. They, in fact, incriminated him by saying his brother used to do this, so he probably learned it from his brother. He learned it from his mom's side of the family. And then, فَأَصَرَّهَا يُوسُفْ فِي نَفْسِهِ. That Yusuf alayhi salam, he didn't say anything. He just hid it. He kept it within himself. وَلَمْ يُبْدِهَا لَهُمْ. And he didn't expose to them anything. But in that moment, imagine you were guys were there, you would probably be like, what are you talking about? I am your brother, and I'm here because of you. Like, you did all these things, blah, blah, blah. Actually, you're the terrible one, da, da, da. No. But that's what happens. When we let emotion take over, it ruins the plan. So Yusuf alayhi salam becomes, he hides it within himself. قَالَ أَنْتُمْ شَرٌ مَكَانًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا تَصِفُونَ. And he said to them that you guys are in the worst position and Allah knows best what you've described. You're in the worst position, as in like, this is a conviction on all of you. Okay, it's not just a conviction on one person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about what you just said. Meaning, you know you lying. But it's okay, because there's something bigger here at store. قَالُوا, they then start to plea. يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ, O Aziz, إِنَّ لَهُ أَبًا شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا. They said, you know we have a father. He has a father. And his father is an old man. Okay? Because you remember they told him that way back when. Our father's old. He really loves him. We can't really bring him. He said, go bring him. So now they're stressed. Because before you weren't thinking about being stressed. You were just thinking about passing the blame. So now they're stressed out. فَخُدْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَهُ. So they said, actually just take one of us in his place. Like, we will give up our own life before we go back home and tell our father that we've lost another one of his sons. Inna naraka min al-muhsinin. And you will find that we are people who do good. Okay, we have ihsan, we're the good people, we're trying our best. Just take one of us instead. Qala ma'adallah. Yusuf alayhi salam says, ma'adallah means God forbid. Like, I seek the protection of God. أَنْ تَأْخُذَ إِلَّا مَنْ وَجَدْنَا مَتَاعَنَا عِنْدَهُ. He said that we take anyone other than the one that we found the cup with. Notice he didn't say that we take anyone that didn't steal it. Because Yusuf alayhi salam knows that Binyamin didn't steal it. But he found the cup in his belongings. So he says that it will be wrong of us to take the one that we found, somebody that we didn't find the cup with. Why? Because that's the rules that you set. You set this rule. We agreed to it in front of the court. We have to live by it. Inna idhan ladhalimun. And if we were to do that, then we will be the ones who are the oppressors. فَلَمَّا اسْتَيْأَسُوا مِنْهُ خَلَصُوا بِنَحِيًّا. So then, when they started to get, like, sad, right? Now they're losing hope, okay? It means to not only lose hope, but, like, not find a solution. So when they start to lose hope, they feel like they can't do it, They went into private and they start consulting with each other. What are we going to do? Who's going to talk to dad? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? Okay? قَالَ كَبِيرُهُمْ أَلَمْ تَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ أَبَاكُمْ قَدْ أَخَذَ عَلَيْكُمْ مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَمِنْ قَبْلُ مَا فَرَّطْتُمْ فِي يُوسُفَ. The older one said to them, remember you guys took a promise, an oath. And you took that oath not by yourself, but in front of Allah. And that oath you took was that you would protect him. And then he says, but before you failed your duty to Yusuf. So he brings it up. Now what's interesting is that you remember way back when they were thinking about what to do with Yusuf, they're like, we should kill him, we should do this, we should do that. And then one of them spoke up. Most of the Mufassirun says it's the oldest brother who keeps speaking out. He doesn't completely want to go against the brothers. So that's why he told them just throw him into a well. And discard of him, and whatever happens to him, happens to him, but don't have blood on your hands, essentially. But here you find that it makes sense because in that time, he's giving a solution that kind of goes against what the brothers want to do, but it's almost like the lesser of two evils in that way. But even when someone picks the lesser of two evils, it still weighs on you, right? It still weighs on you because you're picking the lesser of two evils. You're not picking a good option versus a bad option. You're picking the lesser of two evils, and evil weighs on you. It weighs on your conscience. So here he has another moment to speak up, and though this situation with Binyamin has nothing to do with Yusuf and what they know, he still says, you all failed Yusuf before. And it's almost like being able to release something off of your chest. Like, there was not the situation that would have popped up for me to be able to say this to you, but I'm going to say it to you now. And because of what we did to Yusuf before, we cannot have this. And then he says, فَلَنْ أَبْرَحَ الْأَرْضَ حَتَّى يَأْذَنَ لِي أَبِي أَوْ يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ لِي. He says that I will not leave this place. I will not leave this land until our father allows me to go. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a decision for me. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Because he's the best of decision makers. Essentially taking a stance. I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to watch over him. I'm not going to go back home and tell our father that Binyamin is gone too. I can't do that. So they make a plan. And the plan was that he would stay, but the rest of the brothers had to go back. And they had to go back, and they had to talk to their father. Now, we're going to stop here because the next part of the story gets more. It's like a cliffhanger. It's okay. You'll be fine. But what I really want to take from this is two things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions Yaqub alayhi salam as dhu'ilm, someone who possesses this knowledge in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught it to him. And understanding that all of these things are happening behind the scenes, and Yaqub alayhi salam doesn't know the ins and outs of it. He doesn't. So imagine, like, you're in this situation, or you're in any situation, you're living your life in accordance to what's happening to you right now. But there's a ton of things that are happening adjacent to you, on the side of you, behind you, in front of you, that do pertain to what your next step in life is going to be, but you have to trust Allah because you don't know it. You cannot see it. You cannot perceive it. You cannot feel it. You cannot smell it. You don't know any aspect of what is happening or what is going to happen in your life. But what you do have a responsibility of is taking care of the now. The second thing that I think is very important is that sometimes we don't take lessons from the brothers of Yusuf, right? At least not good ones. You know, the lessons we take is don't be jealous, don't be this, don't be that. But the older brother that Yusuf alayhi salam has, it actually shows us something very important. Because as human beings, you're going to make a mistake. But the journey of redemption is not a bad journey. It's actually your life's journey. We spend our entire life in doing tawbah to Allah. Our entire lifetime should be us U-turning back to Allah. Why? Because we are human beings, and as human beings, we have a lot of side quests. We tell ourselves that this is the straight path that we want to be on, and we try our best to be on that straight path, but then here comes shaitan with something that seems shiny and glowy and pretty, and then we go off to the path, and then we come back, right? And then you see something else on this side, you go off, you come back, and sometimes we get so down bad on ourselves that we don't come back. But what is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing us here? There is always, always, always an option, and the best option is to turn back to Allah. The best option is to go on that journey of redemption. And don't be sad about it. Be confident about it. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to you in your heart that you feel bad for the wrong that you've done or the mistakes that you've made, and He's inspired to you to go on that journey and do better, Allah loves you. Allah loves you. Because there are a plethora of people who are out there doing far worse things that you can ever conceive or think of. And they think that they're right and they're okay. And their arrogance has gotten them to this point where they almost find themselves or think of themselves to be as high as God. And they don't turn back to Allah. But because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to enter into Jannah, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to receive His mercy, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to receive His compassion, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to receive His kindness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to feel what you need to feel to turn back to Him. It is never too late to speak up. It is never too late to stand up. And it's never too late to turn back around. And the last thing that I will say is that we spend so much time searching and searching and searching for just to feel taken care of. We spend so much time searching for that, especially as women. We spend so much time, so much money, actually. Do this, get this subscription, do that. I know, okay, fine, it's okay, I get the ads too. But because they know how to market to us. And we think that we spend more money or we have more friends or we do more things, then we'll feel that fulfillment. Oh, I feel taken care of. I feel heard. I feel this. I feel that. When really, have we tried investing in our relationship between us and Allah? Because maybe what you're looking for is only something Allah can give you. Maybe what you're really looking for is to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has my back. And whether you know it a lot or not, He does. But it's just a matter of you also investing in that relationship. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from everything that we heard here today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us of our shortcomings. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who trust Him. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who enter into Jannah to Firdaus, that we gather in a gathering much better than this, that our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases their difficulty and their hardships, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them Jannah to Firdaus. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.